proposal Peter, he wants to give something more from 18 onwards.
From 18 to 21, now he has said, see, he says, what should motivate us to fear God?
Not only to fear God, earlier he said,
not to be conformed to the fashions of the world, and fear God, and your lifestyle should be according to God's word. What should prompt you?
They should remember that
earlier in the beginning he spoke on salvation. He began with salvation. After explaining salvation, he said, now therefore you need to live like this. Now he is adding something more of God's work, God's gracious work in our life. It's very interesting to see that we know from the New Testament other portions in connection with the divine works of man, from many terms are used. One is regeneration. We have already seen verse 3. Regeneration, referring to the new life we get. Salvation, which verse it was, 9 or 6? Yes, 6. Salvation, referring to our deliverance from finality, eternal condemnation. Now he is explaining something else, another thing, another aspect of God's work. What is that? Redemption. Redemption. Now 18 to 21. Peter says, you consider your redemption. I believe the emphasis is on redemption as a whole, not on redemption as a whole. Just read verse 18. Knowing, if you fear God, live in God's fear. How? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So the emphasis is on the cost of redemption. The Jewish people, according to the Old Testament, we understand there were four types of redemption referred in the Old Testament. Four types of redemption we see in the Old Testament. From Egypt. What was the cost? There were Jewish people, they were under the bondage of Egyptians. The law redeemed them. The cost? One lamb for each family. Then we read about in Exodus 30 verse 15, redemption money to be paid for each person whenever there is a census. Redemption money. How much? What is the cost? Half shekel silver. Then there is another redemption we see in Leviticus 25. Verse 25. If a Jew, he becomes poor, no money, then finally he goes to a master saying, I will give myself to you. You take myself and give me food. And I will do your work. So he is selling himself. He sold himself. The Lord. What there is, if such a thing happened, who should go, the nearest relative should go and pay the penalty of ransom money to the master and set him free. So that is another redemption. Remember these things. And fourth redemption is in Psalm 49. Another redemption is there. Psalmist says, to redeem our, maybe we shall read that verse, Psalm 49 verse 7 and 8. Psalmist says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor keep to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls. So redemption of souls from eternal destruction, from condemnation, from death, from grave. What is the cost? Comes there, it is impossible. So I think when Peter writes these referring to redemption, I believe all these redemption is in his mind. Redemption from Egypt is there. That's why he refers to the lamb, blameless lamb. And also money, silver, gold, maybe referring to the redemption price, half shekel. So there is, Peter remembers all those redemptions, but the focus should be maybe, not much beyond what? Redemption from? Redemption of the soul. Redemption from death. Redemption from sin. In the following verses it is written, therefore Peter says, before you were redeemed, what was your condition? He says there, before you were redeemed, you were from your aimless conduct. Aimless conduct received by tradition from the parties. And there are a lot of things Peter refers there, connects there. Redemption, your redemption. You were under the bondage of law, rituals, tradition, aimless conduct. All that you were doing that had no value, worthless life. There was no profit in all your efforts, in all your achievements. There's no profit. You were in bondage, slave to sin, Satan, self. And the Lord has redeemed you. And what is the cost? He says, consider the cost of redemption. What is that? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb who had no blemish, who had no spot, not sin, yet he had to shed his precious blood. So Peter's argument is, when you think of the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ paid, sinless, the one who knew no sin, the one who did no sin, the one who had no sin in himself, he shed his precious blood for you, to redeem you, to pay as a ransom money for you. How can you live in this world in wickedness? You should fear him. You should live according to his desire, because he has paid a great price for you. So that is the point there. He says, consider the cost of redemption. And secondly, he says, okay, that I have told you already, the plan of redemption, verse 20. You see, verse 20, the plan. The plan means, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, the emphasis is for you. For you. I think he should stress upon that, for you. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That means even before you went to the bondage, even before you became a sinner, even before you sold yourself, before you became a slave to sin and Satan, before that, God had planned it in eternity that his Son Jesus Christ will come and redeem you, save you, redeem you. And he has done it in time. In time he has come. In the last times, in the end of the dispensation, in the end of the ages, he has come for you. God's plan before the foundation of the world. Son of God faithfully executed it for you. Remember, God had a plan for you, in eternity he had planned, and his Son Christ executed it, and how can you neglect that? Yes, conduct yourself according to his desire. And the third thing he says in verse 21, what is that? The fruit of redemption. The fruit means verse 21, who through him believe in God. End of verse 21, so that your faith and hope are in God. Through him, through this Redeemer, the Lord, who paid a great price, who faithfully accomplished that eternal plan of God. And through him, you can believe God Through him you can hope in God. Through him you can come to God.
So there Peter refers to all the results of redemption.
When the Lord gave Christ, what happened?
He had been
delivered from bondage. From the slave market,
he gave money to the master and he purchased us.
And from there he has delivered us.
He has taken us out of the market.
Now he has set us free. We are free.
Not under the bondage of Satan. Not under the bondage of sin. Not under the bondage of self.
We are free. We enjoy freedom because of Christ. We can come to God. We can trust in God. We can call God, God above all else.
So Peter says, consider the results of redemption. When you consider these things, how can you live such a wicked life, or how can you conform yourself according to the order or form of life? Live a new life. Live a life that is acceptable to God. God is just. God is your Father. And He is your Redeemer. Consider these things.
So the three important intentions is there. Then we read there, sorry, be hopeful.
The spelling is wrong there. Eh? I don't worry about that. It's invention, you know? Commandment. Instructions.
Be hopeful. Full of hope. Be holy. Be God-fearing. And why? What should prompt us?
Our redemption. The cost, the plan, the fruit. May God help us that we may examine our life. Fear God.
Leave these three things, at least for here, Jesus says,
full of hope.
Look forward to that day when Christ is coming. Earnestly wait for His coming. Then live holy lives. A separated life. Then fear God. Because you have redeemed us. Because you have paid a great price. And because our Redeemer has faithfully executed the eternal plan of God and the freedom and the fruit and the experience that we have today, freedom from sin, Satan, and from sin, and many other things, freedom that we enjoy. Remember these things. Let us live a holy life, hopeful life, and a God-fearing life. May God bless Jesus to our hearts.